It's good to see each of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here, and I hope that the Lord blesses you in this day. We are so glad to have those of you who are our guests with us today, and we're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord blesses you as we worship together. Let me remind you of just a few announcements. Be sure to remember the small groups that we started last Sunday night. We are continuing that tonight. The locations are still at the same Peavine location at Peaks of Hope, and then in the Family Life Center with the young adults. The Good News Classroom, we will be meeting over there instead of in the sanctuary this evening. And so be sure and remember that, and that will happen in the Good News Classroom right after choir practice. And so all of those begin at 6 o'clock this evening, and we had about 20 more people last week in small groups than we've been running in the sanctuary on Sunday night. So that was good, and we rejoice in that, and we just want you to continue inviting people to come and to be a part of these small groups. Be sure and remember, Mothers of Preschoolers will be meeting Tuesday. The morning session begins at 9:30, goes to 11. The evening session begins at 6 and goes to 7:30. If you are willing to help be a mentor mom or willing to help with child care, be sure and see Sue Allen or Susan Boney, and they will get you in the right position. Wednesday night is our wonderful Wednesday at 6. We had such a good time with Super Summer Something that we are going to be having on the third Wednesday night of every month a fellowship time. And this coming Wednesday night, however, we're going to be saying a farewell to Jim and Nancy Morris. Jim and Nancy have been long-term members of our church, and they are moving to Houston with their daughter Beth. And so we're wanting to say not a happy goodbye, but we are going to have to. We're going to say we'll see you later. How about that? And so be sure to remember that Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Down in the Family Life Center, the church is providing the meat, and we ask that you bring covered dishes, vegetables, casseroles, rolls, dessert, all those kind of things. And there's also going to be a card basket there for them if you would like to just drop them a card expressing your appreciation for them. I know that they would enjoy reading those, and I encourage you to do that. Grief share here at the church Friday at 10 o'clock, and so those of you involved, if you know somebody that would help, be sure and let them know, or talk to Jane Montgomery, and she can let you give you some more information. Men's ministry breakfast has been postponed next Saturday, and the reason being, we as a church are hosting the District Children's Talent, and that begins at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And I'm going to tell you that if you have ever had anything to do with the sound booth back there, Wayne needs some help next Saturday. You don't have to operate the sound system. All you need to do is be able to get things organized. Don't look at me like that. We know that we have about 70 children that will be here participating from all across our district, and Pastor Tyler's going to need help as well. And so if you can help either one of these out next Saturday, please be sure and let them know. Next Saturday evening, we're going to be having a kind of a mini revival. That'll be Saturday evening at 6:30 and then Sunday morning at 10:30. And Dr. Marlon Hodel will be here to speak, and he is a great preacher, and you will enjoy him. He's a friend of Pastor Tyler's, and so I encourage you to come and to be a part of that next Saturday evening, and then also he will be speaking on Sunday morning. Bread of Life sign-up sheet is in the foyer, and that will be happening October the 1st. And Karen, what is the menu for October the 1st? Taco salad, brownies, and applesauce. There's a sign-up sheet for you to bring stuff, and also a sign-up sheet for you to volunteer to help serve this meal. Fall Festival candy, the container is out in the foyer. And thank you for the way you've already been participating in that. We hope to have as many as we did last year, and more if we invite people. And Mary will be in a panic. 600 like to have gotten us last year. So anyway, be sure to remember Fall Festival. NYC envelopes are still in the foyer. Be sure and help us out with that. And I know that the teens would appreciate it. We're still quite a ways from our goal to send our kids. And if you can help us out with that, that would be great. Samantha?
Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Samantha Bullock. I'm your NDI superintendent. And you say, what's NDI? I know the pastor's been trying to let everybody know, but that stands for Nazarene Discipleship International. We used to just be Sunday school. I thought that's what I was signing up for. No. He tricked me. I wanted to tell you the mission statement of NDI. The mission of Nazarene Discipleship International is to carry out the Great Commission to children, youth, and adults in preparation for a lifelong journey of being and making Christ-like disciples in the nations. I know when we did Promotion Sunday, I honored our Sunday school teachers, and I do thank our Sunday school teachers so much. Thank you for Amen. What you do every week. But today, I want to honor our other NDI workers. So when I call your name, if you will please come up here and stand so we can all see you. Children's Director, Mary Barnes. Youth President, Keisha Woolbright. Ladies Director, Linda Kennedy. Men's Director, Wayne White. Young at Heart, Arlene Reed. NMI, our missions, Jesse Welch. MOPS, Mothers of Preschools, that's Susan Benee and Sue Allen. Bread of Life, Karen DeBrow. Grief Share, Divorce Care, Jane Montgomery. And then Trail Life, Pastor and Tyler Rutherford.
And Jack Deals.
Is Jack? Jack?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm like, okay. Look at this good group we have here. I want to say thank you for all you do. Thank you guys for all you do. I know you put in a lot of effort, a lot of time into our programs that we have. And you do this because you love your church and you love your community. But most importantly, you love God. And I want to thank the church out there for supporting all of us. I know several of you out there are helpers and on several of the committees. Thank you. I want to say a special thank you to my NDI council. Fran Gunst, Karen DeBrow, Nicole Ball, along with Jesse Welch, Keisha Woolbright, Linda Kennedy, Pastor Tyler Rutherford, Mary Barnes, Arlene Reed. I got a big committee, big council. I also want to say a special thank you to our pastor for being there to guide us into being the disciples and supporting us in all that we do. So just thank you again, and just let's show them again how much we love them and appreciate them. Thank you, guys.
with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, you are worthy, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the fact that even though there's nothing at all that we could ever give in return that would be worth what you've given to us, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to save us from our sins. And so, God, this morning I pray that you would help us to do the very least that we can do, which is give ourselves back to you in worship. God, I pray that you would help us to put aside the things that are distracting us, the things that have gone on over the last days, and that you would help us to focus this morning on you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. I pray that you would be with us in these moments to come, and we will give you the praise and the glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, never once, no, we never walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are
couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to Kentucky on a disaster response trip. And while I was there, we had the opportunity to work with this gentleman and his daughter who had lost a considerable amount in a flood. The daughter's single-wide trailer had been completely engulfed by floodwaters, and we actually brought in some heavy equipment, totally tore it down. There was about $300,000 worth of damage to the property, and the government wrote him a check for $179 and said good luck. But I was standing on the second day that we were there, and I was talking to this guy who owned this property, and he stopped and he said, you know, we've lost a whole bunch of stuff, but it's just stuff. And he said something that really stuck with me, and it was this. He said, over the years I've learned that God is with us in the storms, and that His grace is always sufficient. I want you to know this morning that we never walk alone, and it's through Christ in us that we're able to do that. So let's sing this song together this morning. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I,
but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Second Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have longed in His appearing. The only way that we can do that is through Christ in us. And so let's praise His name this morning together.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. O Lord, O Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is Your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. We shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise.
Thank you, Lord, this morning for the opportunity that we have to come together to praise your name. You are worthy of our praise, and we give you praise, honor, and glory this morning for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. Lord, you have been so good to us, and we do magnify your name this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it is through you that we are able to do what we're able to do. And we're grateful, Lord, for the way that you have blessed and the way that you have helped. We're grateful, Lord, for your Spirit that is at work within us. And we give you glory and honor and praise this morning. And we're grateful, Father, that we can bring to you our needs and our burdens as we come to this place this morning. And there are those among our congregation that need your touch, that need your help. There are those who are able to be here this morning, Lord, that you have touched and that you have helped. And so, Lord, this morning we give you glory and honor and praise for the ways that you're working in the hearts and the lives of your people. But now, Lord, we look into your word. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we look into your word this morning, that we might receive from you what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray that it might not be my words, but it might be your words to this congregation. And we rejoice and we give you glory this morning for what you're going to accomplish as we look into your word together. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week I began a message about come and drink, and really had not planned to do a whole series on this thought of come and. But this, as I began to look and as I began to think about it, there are a lot of those statements as you go throughout the New Testament that Jesus made to various people. And so this morning, our last Sunday morning, we talked about come and drink. And this morning, we're going to talk about come and rest. And I believe God's going to help us this morning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. In a cathedral in Copenhagen stands a famous statue of Jesus by the sculptor Thorvaldsen. It's considered a masterpiece. In fact, by most people, it is considered the greatest statue of Jesus that has ever been sculpted. And the sculptor intended this statue, and it's on the screen this morning. The sculptor intended for this statue to be a heroic statue of Jesus, with Jesus standing there with his arms stretched toward heaven after the resurrection. And the title that he was originally going to give it was Follow My Commands. He sculpted the model there in clay and left it there overnight so that he could come back to it. And during the night, the mist in the air had kind of a strange effect on the model. When he got in the next morning, the hands that had been raised heroically were now outstretched hands. The face that was looking toward heaven was now looking down. And the sculptor said that when he saw this, he fully realized that this was the true picture of Jesus. And instead of calling the sculpture Follow My Commands, he entitled it Come Unto Me. Wow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 30, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I looked at that statue, and as I began to think about that, that really is the reality of our Savior. Because no one else can reach out to our hearts like Jesus. No one else can give us rest and peace and really release like our Savior can. And this morning, I want us to look into God's Word, and I want us to find what Jesus can really do for us. He offered the woman last week living water. And I believe this morning Jesus can offer us perfect rest. Let's look at what it says as we look through the Word of God this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is that Jesus calls to all who are burdened and says, I will give you rest. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you are rested? I figured that was about what I would get. You know, we start talking about, we live in a world that is constantly on the move. And with all that has been going on, it seems that a lot of us over the past couple of years with COVID and then a lot of other issues that we faced, it seems like the past 2 or 3 years, we've experienced more trials than maybe many of us have in many years. Not everyone in here has experienced it, but sitting here, there are those I know, not because somebody's come to tell me, but I simply know that in a congregation of this size that's sitting here this morning, there are those who are burdened. There are those who have heartaches. There are probably some here that are going through things that many of us could not even begin to imagine. Some probably came to this place this morning thinking they were the only one. Because I have been there before. I have come to church and I have gone through things and I thought, well, nobody else knows the heartache I've seen. You've been there. I've been there. We've all been there. Perhaps this morning, though, there are some that this was not the greatest week in the world as far as their spiritual experience was concerned. Perhaps this was a week in which you found yourself going through temptation, and you found yourselves not only going through temptation, but possibly you found yourselves yielding to temptation. Some of you came to this place this morning burdened. Some of you came this morning with guilt. Some of you came this morning as you are wondering whether anybody else cared about you. We look at Jesus And I think that many times we look at Jesus, and because he was God, we think that he never got tired. He never carried great burdens. But I want you to know the opposite of that is completely true. Maybe many times we think that the only great burden that he carried was when he went to the cross. Nothing could be further from the truth, though. If you look at this passage of Scripture, you're going to find that Jesus has sent out the 12 disciples, and then we read that he has gone to preach in the towns around Galilee. It was in this preaching around the towns of Galilee that John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, come to Jesus and ask this question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Can you imagine? I mean, remember, this is John. This is John who there in the Jordan River saw Jesus coming and announced to the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the same John that said that there is one coming after me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to untie. This is the same John that declared that I baptize you with water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. And yet John is sending his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the one? Are you the one who was to come, or is there someone else that's going to come? Now, and let's be honest about it, okay? You would kind of begin to feel that way maybe if you were sitting in prison. You know, you would kind of begin to wonder, well, I thought this thing was going to go great guns and then I was going to be an associate somewhere. Okay, I'm reading the Bible with a little too much imagination. I understand that. But there is John, the one who was called the forerunner. And yet John is sitting in prison and he's wondering. He's going through what many of us go through. He's going through those times of doubt. He's going through those times in which he said, God, I have done everything that you wanted me to do, and yet here I am, God, and where are you? And he sends his disciples. He sends his disciples to Jesus. I've often wondered what Jesus must have felt like when that question was asked to him. I mean, think about that for just a moment. He was God. There is no doubt of that. He is God. There is no doubt of that. But he was also human like we are. And the Bible clearly tells us that he was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without what? Sin. He had the hurts. He had the feelings. He had all the things that we are. That's the reason the Hebrew writer says that we have a great high priest who can understand us. Really. He understands what you're going through. He understands the difficulty in your life. And so here Jesus is. He's preaching. He's doing all that he's supposed to be. And nothing seems to weary the soul like the doubt and the distrust of those that we know and that we trust. But that wasn't just all that Jesus was facing here. You read on down and you're going to find that Jesus begins to go in to preach. And as he goes in to preach to some of these other cities, these cities, when he comes into that, they completely reject him. look at verse 24. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. I mean, he's named three cities there. He's especially named one that we know and that we read about a whole lot, and that was Capernaum. I mean, he is saying here, these cities have rejected me. They have rejected what has been done in them. Distrust, doubt. They bring us to a point that we're just wondering what's going on, but then you have rejection. You have these cities that saw the miracles. You have all of this going on. And Jesus is not only feeling the doubt and the mistrust of John and his disciples, but he's also feeling the rejection of the cities that were there. Isn't it amazing that right after this, Jesus prays and he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to these little children. And then you read on down, and the one who is feeling the doubt, the mistrust, the rejection, is the same one who is saying to all of those right there, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. You see, Jesus does understand. Jesus understands what you and I go through. He understands all the things in our life. We have a high priest who does understand us. That ought to do something for us. That ought to help us in our walk with Christ to know that we do have someone who understands our situations, who understands our circumstances, who has gone through doubt, who has gone through mistrust, who has gone through rejection. And Jesus was calling as he's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He was calling to those who were sick and hurting. Pastor Tyler preached a couple of weeks ago about blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus called to this man. And Bartimaeus came to him and he was healed. He calls to those who are bound by laws and rules and regulations. The Jews were so bound up by their rules and their regulations, they were trying to gain God's favor. And I'm going to tell you something. Those who are trying to keep all the rules and those who are trying to keep all the regulations are some of the most tired people you're ever going to meet. He calls to those who are burdened with sin. Just like the woman last week at the well. He began to talk to her. He began to tell her. Isn't it amazing how she went back to that city and she said to all the people in that city, come and see a man who has told me everything that I have ever done. Is not this the Messiah? If there was anybody in the crowd that was burdened by sin and bound down by sin, it was that woman at the well. And what did Jesus do? He offered her peace. He offered her a drink of living water. He calls to those who are restless and burdened. He doesn't distinguish and try to segregate us into areas of our lives. Jesus calls to us and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives us peace and rest. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you something that goes beyond your understanding. I'll give you something that will enable you to find peace with God and peace with your fellow man. In the coming Wednesday nights, I told the group this past Wednesday night this. We just started going through the book of Romans. And if they could get the preacher excited about the book of Romans, then that probably is going to be a great Bible study. I'm telling you, folks, I get so excited when I start on that, I hardly know how to contain myself. But I told him Wednesday night as we were talking about it, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about what peace really is. And in looking at what Paul says there in the book of Romans, you're going to find that peace is really real contentment. I'm not talking about something that is passing, fleeting. I'm talking about something that is real, that is lasting. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. He is calling for those who are burdened, those who are weary, those who are restless, those who are bound by rules and regulations, those who are bound by sin. He's calling all of those people to him so that he can give them rest. Now, I want you to understand something before I go any further in this. There are a lot of preachers on television that will tell you that if you come to Jesus, that everything is just going to be hunky-dory, that you'll never have any problems, that your circumstances will totally change, and that life is just going to be a bed of roses. Well, let me tell you something. I do agree with that last statement. Life will be a bed of roses, because if you go and grab a rose bush, you're going to find thorns. I wish that was original to me, but Pa Cook told me that years ago. Please understand that following Jesus does not relieve you from the circumstances and situations of life. Following Jesus does release you from the power of sin in your life. Amen? Following Jesus does allow us to find peace with God. He's not saying that there's going to be some absence of turmoil, but he is saying that you and I can find rest and you and I can find peace for our soul. I was looking on Facebook this week, and some friends of ours had gone to Savannah, Georgia. If you've never been to Savannah, you ought to go to Savannah. It is a beautiful city, and I'm not trying to advertise. They are paying me nothing for saying that, okay? Savannah is a beautiful city. In one of the parks in Savannah, there is a statue there of John Wesley. John Wesley came to Savannah, and it was amazing when you start studying the life of John Wesley. You're going to find that basically John Wesley attended every religious group that he could attend. He finally decided that what he would do, he would come to the Americas and he would be a missionary to the Indians. And he partook of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. He fasted every Wednesday and Friday. He went to bed very early so that he could get up very early and pray. He wore very coarse clothes because he felt like that would punish the flesh. He ate poorly prepared food. Bless him, Lord. In fact, in one part, in his point in time in his life, he went without shoes to try to gain the favor of God. But in all of that, he found nothing. He found absolutely nothing that would bring peace to his soul. It was not until he was going through a storm at sea and saw the Moravian people who were there and the peace that they had in their heart and life that John Wesley began to see that there must be something more. And during his Aldersgate experience, he said, "My heart was strangely warmed." What happened? God came and gave him the peace that he had been looking for so long. A whole lot of us think if we can just simply do enough, a whole lot of us think if we'll just avoid this or we'll just avoid that, that somehow or another maybe God will look at us in some sort of favor and maybe we'll find the peace that we heard Sister So-and-so talk about years ago. The only way you and I can have the peace that Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so had is to know Jesus in the same way that they knew Jesus. We were riding this week. I don't even remember where Pastor Tyler and I were going. And we were talking about the revivals that we used to have and the camp meetings that we used to have and how that people would run the aisles. And it wasn't just made up emotion. It was something genuine. Something that happened in people's hearts and lives. And now you don't find anybody shouting about anything that the Lord is doing, but you do find them shouting at each other. Can I tell you what's wrong? What's wrong is that people today do not have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. They don't have the joy unspeakable and full of glory that they used to have. Jesus is saying to us and to these disciples, he's saying to all of us today, come to me if you're tired and if you're burdened, and I'll give you peace and I'll give you real rest. Not just physical rest, but spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. Something that is meaningful in our everyday lives. Because I found out a long time ago, I can take a nap in the afternoon and I may get up grumpier than I was when I went to bed. Susie did not wave her hanky at that one. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. And Jesus ends this. He ends it with maybe the people of that day understood it completely, but I'm not sure that we in our day really understand all that Jesus is saying here, because he says there in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus urges us to let him bear the load. Legend. It is legend. Jesus, we do know, was a carpenter. And legend says that Jesus, as a carpenter, made the best yoke for oxen of anybody in Galilee. And I remember as a kid growing up, seeing some folks over in the middle part of Tennessee. And they had big old ox. Now, all of my folks over in Tennessee, my Uncle Claude, he farmed, and he didn't have oxen, but he did have mules. And I was raised in town, and they were up there. It was one fall, I was up there, and I got to drive the mules in on the wagon as they were pulling the corn and throwing it in the wagon. I never learned what gee and haw really meant. If you don't know what that is, come and talk to me about it. I'll tell you what it means. But there were people around Lawrenceburg that had oxen, and they still were plowing their fields with those oxen, and those oxen had on yokes. You can see it now if you look at pictures of the Holy Land. You can see all of that. And legend has it that Jesus made the best there. And the whole illustration that Jesus is using, the people in his day fully understood. The oxen, they would put in this yoke, and the oxen that were yoked together, more than often, it was an older oxen and a younger oxen. And the reason that they put them together, the reason that they paired them like that, is so that the older oxen could teach that younger ox how to pull and how to do what needed to be done. That older one was pulling most of the weight. The younger one was there trying to learn how to maneuver and how to do all the things that needed to be done. And Jesus calls to that entire crowd. And he says, what I really want you to do is come and go with me. If you'll come and go with me, he says, you can learn from me. I can show you what you need to do. I'll be with you every step of the way. We're going to be in this thing together, as we would say today. He says, I'm gentle. I found out a long time ago that if you try to pair up with the world, or you try to pair up with the devil, you try to pair up with anything like that, and the devil never leads. The devil always drives. And there is a huge difference. I'm not talking about drive a car. I'm talking about push. I'm talking about Nothing is ever right. Nothing is going to be what you want it to be. There is always this push. It is always being driven. Jesus says, if you'll come and you'll yoke up with me, you can learn from me. I'm going to be with you every step of the way, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. A whole lot of us have been pulling, and we have been tugging, and we have been forcing, and we have been being driven, and we have been looking at all the world that is around us, thinking the world is going mad, and what in the world am I going to do? There is nothing right anymore. Let me tell you something. There is still something right, and that is Jesus. And Jesus calls to that crowd that day. He calls to us here this morning to come along beside Him. To come along beside Him and learn what He has to say about situations and circumstances. To learn how He can lighten the load. To learn how He will bear the burdens. To inform us that really we can cast all of our care on Him, because He does what? He cares for us. He calls us to submit to Him and allow Him to reveal Himself in us in ways that we could not have even imagined, in ways that will allow other people to see that there is peace, there is joy, there is rest for our souls. Conclusion. You look at this passage of Scripture and you see that Jesus calls to all who are restless, all who are burdened, all who are tired. Jesus offers to give us rest. He offers to give us peace. He urges us to let Him bear the load. He offers rest to the person who has not come to Him yet. He offers rest, the rest of a forgiven heart. He offers rest from the condemnation that we sense before we come to Christ. He offers rest to the person who has not completely submitted their heart and life to Him. He offers complete rest of our inner spirit. He offers cleansing that only comes about by the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He offers rest to the burden, to the person who finds the burdens of life to be more than they can bear. He offers rest to you this morning. He offers rest to me. He offers to give us exactly what we need. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Do you need rest this morning? I'm not asking if you need to go home and take a nap. Some of you have already had one this morning. Do you need real rest? Do you need real peace? Do you need real joy? Jesus is saying, not only come and drink, Jesus is saying, come and rest. Come and rest. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. We thank you, Lord, that we can see that You had a few days that were not the best in the world, where you found that you were rejected. You found that there were those who should not have been doubting, but who were. They were questioning, Lord. And you never scolded them. You just simply said, go and tell Him what you see. Go and tell Him what you see. And we're grateful, Lord, that when we look at You, we find You praying. We find You saying that all of these things have been revealed not to the wise, but to those who were not wise by any stretch of the imagination. And probably to that tired group of people that day, to those who had been bound by sin, to those who had been bound by rules and regulations, to those who had been bound by the burdens of life that just simply overwhelmed them, you said to them that day, come to me and I'll give you rest. Perhaps in just a moment, Lord, as we open this altar, there might be some here this morning that they need to find rest for their souls. Wouldn't try to classify what kind of rest they're needing, but they need to find rest for their souls. And I pray, Father, that in just a moment, whether here around this altar or there in their seats, that they could indeed find rest for their souls, that they can find the rest that only Jesus gives. We're so grateful, Lord, that you do offer us your rest, that you offer us your peace, that you offer to walk along beside of us and allow us to learn from you. And so, Lord, this morning we're grateful for what you offer to us today. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, I wonder if there might be one, maybe more, this morning that you simply need to get up from where you're seated right now and come and bow around this altar. Or maybe if you can't bow, just sit in these front seats and just simply talk to the Father about the rest that you need. Do you need to do that this morning? No music, nothing like that. We're just going to come and talk to Jesus. Do you need to come and bow here this morning and find the rest that you need for your soul? One anywhere? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together to worship you and to praise you. Thank you for your Spirit that was here today. May you bless and help us throughout this day. And Lord, if there's one here in this congregation that they really just couldn't find the courage that they needed to come and to bow here or to come and sit in these seats, I pray, God, that as they go from this place this morning, maybe they need to reach a hand out to someone close by and say, pray with me right here, right now. Lord, whatever they need, we know that you're going to meet their need, and we rejoice in that today. Bless us as we go through this day. May we find rest from you. And for what you're going to do for us, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're glad to have those of you who joined us on Facebook this morning. Please be sure and leave a comment that you were with us. Also, those in the congregation, we're glad that you were here. Remember, small groups this evening. We'll be meeting, young adults will be meeting in the Family Life Center, regular group over in the regular group. That sounded bad, didn't it? The group here on campus, we'll be meeting over in the Good News Classroom. The Peavine group will be meeting at Peaks of Hope, which is right next door to Mountaineer Realty out there on Peavine Road. I'm glad you are here this morning. May God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday for sure.